'Tis the month of St. Paddy's Day, and here's a random related fact. Did you know that the odds of finding a lucky four-leaf clover are 1 in 10,000? I'd say that's pretty difficult. Fortunately, if you're a business owner or hiring manager, you don't need luck to find the top talent for your team. You need ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/40. And if your idea of a pot of gold is a room full of the most qualified candidates for your job, well, ZipRecruiter is the rainbow that's going to lead you there. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology starts showing you qualified candidates, and you can invite the best candidates you find to apply all from one place. So aren't you just a wee bit curious to see how ZipRecruiter can help you? Well, today's your lucky day, because you could try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/40. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. Once again, just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/40. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden again pushing Congress to act on a border deal.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators led by a very serious conservative Republican senator, as well as Democrats. The result was a compromise bill of the toughest border security reforms this country has ever seen.
His comments during an address to the League of Cities in D.C. Lawyers for E. Jean Carroll requested that Judge Lewis Kaplan approve Donald Trump's $92 million bond. The former president lost a defamation case brought by the columnist who claims he sexually assaulted her in a department store dressing room in the 1990s. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez pleaded not guilty to obstruction charges in an indictment that was added to the bribery and corruption charges he already faced. Stocks are lower so far today. This is ABC News. Some history was made at the Oscars last night.
Billie Eilish, now the youngest two-time Oscar winner.
I'm just grateful for this song and for this movie and the way that it made me feel.
The 22-year-old won Best Song for her Barbie track, What Was I Made For? And she also won for doing the James Bond theme, No Time to Die, in 2020. Oppenheimer Best Actor winner Cillian Murphy became the first Irish-born Best Actor winner.
It's really, really meaningful to me.
And history denied for Killers of the Flower Moon's Lily Gladstone, who would have been the first Native American Best Actress winner. She lost to Poor Things' Emma Stone. Backstage at the Oscars, Jason Athens and ABC News, Hollywood.
Two airline pilots fell asleep at the same time on the same flight, have now been temporarily suspended. They work for Indonesia's Batik Air. Air traffic controllers were unable to reach them for almost a half hour as the plane veered off course. They eventually landed safely. All 153 passengers and crew members were unharmed. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
People who come to Cricket stay with Cricket, just like our customer Jaren.
I'm the singer and guitarist in a band, and I use my Cricket phone for everything. It's basically like another band member.
Don't miss a single beat. Switch today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Real customer paid for testimonial. Must bring your number to Cricket on up to a $60 a month voice plan, depending on device. Select models only while supplies last. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The state Senate is poised to fire two UW system regents.
The full Senate is on the floor for a final session day on Tuesday. A vote to reject Governor Tony Evers' appointments of Dana Walks and John Miller to the Board of Regents appears likely following a committee vote to do so last week. Now, Walks and Miller both voted twice against a deal struck between UW leadership and Republican legislative leaders. That agreement released state funding for building projects and employee pay raises in exchange for restructuring campus diversity, equity, and inclusion positions. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Officers who responded to a well-being check in the village of Rothschild, which ended in a suicide, have been cleared of any wrongdoing.
Marathon County District Attorney Teresa Whetstone says the report indicates that officers played no role in the victim's self-inflicted gunshot wound during the January 3rd incident. The situation does not constitute an officer-involved death. Police from multiple agencies were called to the apartment that day for a welfare check, which ended with the subject fleeing into a bathroom, then producing a handgun. Officers attempted first aid at the scene. The victim was rushed to a local hospital where they later died. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Officers who responded to the incident were all wearing body cameras. None fired their weapons. An email threat was sent to some staff members at Toma High School over the weekend. Toma police in the school district there said the Saturday email threatened violence towards students and teachers. A canvas inside the school and around the building found nothing of concern. An update from Toma police Sunday stated an investigation found that information points to the email originating from outside of the U.S. The department says they'll maintain an increased presence around Toma schools in response to the threat.
While the rest of the world paused during the COVID pandemic, Worthington, Minnesota has been busy. Worthington has rebuilt four parks, built an indoor turf rec center, a splash pad, a community pavilion, pickleball courts, lighted biking and walking trails, and added lake rentals. But we're just getting started. A lakeside eatery and a new outdoor aquatic center is coming. And here's the thing. Worthington, Minnesota is a great place to eat, play, live, and stay. This is your invitation. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright and beautiful day today with the heat really cranking up, soaring to high temperatures, flirting with 70 degrees. But keep in mind, winds are a bit breezy, creating a high fire danger risk. The spring-like vibes continue into tomorrow, too. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 58.
Thing. For the grain market bulls, corn followed wheat to the upside, but beans and soybean meal ended the day lower. Livestock futures also started the week under pressure. And now, let's get show number 2601 started.
Live from 10 years down the road via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we welcome Ardalan Suderman from StoneX back to AgriTalk. Later, Carrie Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com, and directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
You know, here we are 10 years later, and you are more handsome today than when we did the first market rally radio.
Chip, I'd argue with you if I could, but you are not wrong, amigo.
Happy anniversary, my good friend and partner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are broadcast brothers, and it goes deeper than that.
Oh, but yeah.
For these purposes, sure. Yes. Good work, buddy. Good work hanging in. 10 freaking years. Who, in this day and age, who even does any job for
anything
10 years anymore?
For 10
you know?
Years. I don't know. I don't know. It may be that we found what we like can do.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we just decided to do instead of, you know, finding stuff that we can't.
Yeah, this is like my one thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is okay with me.
You
know, if this is what we found that we can do, mm-hmm. I am more than happy to take it. 10 years, dude.
Dude,
10 years.
I'm extremely blessed. Let me just say publicly, thank you, Lord, for 10 great years on the air with my brother, my buddy, my pal, Chip Flory. Man.
I'm going along with that. Amen to that.
Yep.
And to the listeners out there, you know, we've got a lot of markets that we need to talk about on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to kind of jam this into a very short period of time here. But the listeners, you guys, the encouragement that you've given us over the years, the constructive criticism
sure.
that you've given us over the years, it's been so valuable to encouraging Davis and I to continue to try to make this show better, make it as good as we possibly could make it.
Yep.
Have some fun along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if I remember right, I think the guy that maybe had the most constructive criticism for us to begin with, that could have been your dad.
I think it probably was. Yeah. He had us thinking long and hard about how this was going to work and whose idea this was.
Right. Yeah. And I think number one on his mind was, nobody's going to pay you guys to do this.
He said that.
What the heck? Thank you, Ron.
Just couldn't figure it out.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Now you're doing what? For who? What?
It's been a ride. It has been
absolutely
an absolute thrill to get on here every afternoon, 2:06. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's exactly 2,601 for the show count today, but that's going to get us in the neighborhood. So for the 2,601st time, let's get to the markets. Buddy, what do you got?
Chip, USDA this morning announced China canceled the purchase of 264,000 metric tons of U.S. soft red winter wheat. This is the third consecutive day with a cancellation announcement, but the wheat market has found a way to end higher on two of those 3 days. Export inspections of wheat week ended March 7 totaled nearly 403,000 metric tons, and that was in line with trade expectations. Stats Canada estimated 2024 wheat seeding intentions of 27 million acres. Chip, that's about 300,000 acres above trade expectations. May soft red futures opened slightly higher, dropped through support at Friday's low, then prices recovered to close above resistance at Friday's high. The upside reversal in old crop SRW wheat is a positive chart signal for the rest of the week. July HRW wheat futures 13.5 cents higher, 587.75. July SRW wheat up 10.75 cents to 561. July spring wheat closed at 673.5. That's up 7.25 cents today, Chip.
Bottom line is the SRW market continues to get, quote-unquote, bad news, and it's not going down. 3 days in a row. That's an impressive move.
Export inspections of corn in the week ended March 7 totaled 1.122 million metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations. May corn futures opened slightly lower and extended losses to mid-morning, then followed wheat futures to the upside. May corn posted a fourth consecutive higher close and settled above 440 for the first time since February 13. Brazilian consulting firm AgriRal says 93% of the Safrina corn crop was planted as of last Thursday. That's ahead of the 82% planting pace last year at this time. The weather forecast calls for a hotter and drier pattern in Safrina corn areas, and that should limit selling pressure. Today, May corn futures 2 cents higher, 441.75. July corn up 2 cents, 453.75. December corn futures closed at 472.75, up 0.75 cents, Chip.
The market is working on it. There's no question about it. And this weather forecast is going to be critically important going forward.
Well, soybean oil prices traded higher on word Malaysian palm oil stocks fell to the lowest level in 7 months at the end of February. Bean harvest in Brazil was estimated at 55% complete as of Thursday, that according to AgriRal. That's just ahead of the 53% harvested at this time last year. Export inspections of soybeans totaled just over 706,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Bean prices opened higher but slipped to slightly lower levels by mid-morning. Soybean meal prices pulled beans downward to a low-range close. May beans 4.75 cents lower today, 11.79 and a quarter. July down 3.75, 11.91 and three quarters. November beans closed at 11.72 and three quarters, down a penny, Chip.
All right, let's try to stick to the schedule here and bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. How about yourself? I'm having a nice day here.
Well, that's great. Well, 68 degrees here in northeast Iowa. Sun is shining. We're celebrating 10 years on the air. It couldn't get much better, dude.
No, that sounds like a recipe for a wonderful day for sure. You got the big cake going and everything, huh?
You bet. So tell me about this. Tell me about the grain markets. Which one do you like the most right now? This wheat refusing to go down on negative news has got to be. It's got to be telling us something.
Well, I think actually all of them are refusing to go down right now. I'm kind of liking all of the markets, to tell you the truth. I think, as we were talking about a week ago, we got through the USDA reports. All the bad news seems to be in the market. And even if there is a little bit of bad news out there, we seem to be ignoring it, and we seem to be creeping higher. And that, to me, is the beginnings of what could be a little bit of an interesting rally. We'll find out about that. We still have a lot of funds are still very, very short. They've got to cover up those positions. The problem is going to be the producer is still very, very long. They're going to have to let some of that corn and soybeans go and wheat go here if we do get a decent rally. So that will limit the upside, but it doesn't mean we won't have any. And I'm kind of liking all of them, actually.
Gotcha, gotcha. Still a lot of Brazilian crop to come through the system, too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. There was a little bit on Friday moving, but really there's a lot more to go.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks for being a big part of the last 10 years here on the PM Hour of AgriTalk. Really appreciate all you do, buddy. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. It's always been a great time, and I look forward to doing it another time.
Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Arlen is up next.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be. Got so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us for 10th anniversary of the show. We're going to get to a conversation with Arlen Suderman here in just a moment. First, let's go ahead and finish up the news. Davis?
Sure thing. Well, Chip, Cotton was almost 150 points higher earlier this morning when we talked to the morning show. Now, July cotton up 42 points on the day, so it pulled back a little bit, closed at 94.34. On your livestock, so I got front month live cattle futures looking to the cash market for direction this week. Start of the week with front month futures sticking close to unchanged. April fat cattle steady, 187.60. June down 40 cents, 183.02 and a half. And April feeders a buck lower, 253.10. And lean hog futures saw a high range open with a low range close, with front month futures closing at the lowest level since February 13. There's that date again, Chip. Yeah. February 13 keeps coming up. April hogs today, a buck 10 lower, 83.27 and a half. June down 77 and one half to 101.05.
Yeah. Comes up in hogs, comes up in cattle, comes up in corn.
Is in corn. Yep.
Yeah, February 13th was one of those days that were, you look back at it on the charts, and it carries some weight to it.
Yep.
All right. Well, Davis, this is kind of like deja vu all over again, only 10 years later. Let's bring in the first original guest analyst of what was at the time Market Rally Radio, Arlen Suderman, StoneX Group. Arlen, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
Hey, congratulations, Chip, on 10 years. I don't know how it could be 10 years, and I've only aged 5 years over that time, but congratulations.
Yeah, right. That's like I said at the start of the show. Davis has only gotten better looking. I just don't understand how all these dynamics are coming together. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. Arlen, 10 years ago, you helped us out in getting ready to come on to start the show. And then there you were as our first guest analyst on the show 10 years ago today. So we really appreciate your support for AgriTalk, your support for what we were trying to do. It's, you know, over the years, people have tried to describe what this hour of farm radio is like. And it's like sports talk radio for the markets. And, you knew it. You figured it out right from the very start. You jumped right on board with us, and buddy, we sure appreciate it.
You know, the business of agriculture is more than a business. It's a lifestyle. It's a community. And that's why AM radio has been so critical, as well as some of the FM stations that have joined in as well in bringing this community together across the country and sharing that lifestyle. And in learning all about the business of agriculture and what we can do and pulling together. It's second to none.
Yeah, you got that right. You got that right. It is an absolute, Davis said it at the start of the show, it's an absolute blessing to be able to do this for each and every day. It's just
no doubt about it.
Yep. All right. What in the world, Arlen, is going on with wheat? Bad news 3 days in a row, and it's rallied 3 days in a row. What is going on?
Well, and there's similar dynamics in corn and soybeans as well. But when the funds have as large a short sold positions in them as what they've had, that makes them nervous once we get into the month of March, because that's a higher risk time when a headline could cause them to all try to get out the door at the same time. Now, for corn and soybeans, as you mentioned, the U.S. farmer is undersold, but the Brazilian farmer is even more undersold, looking for that rally to sell. So that makes it a little tougher for them to rally. But when with wheat, and we've been talking with our customers about this for some time, when will the funds start to unwind there, and who's going to take the other side? Because if they have all these massive short positions that they need to buy in order to unwind those positions, the farmer in the northern hemisphere is already sold. So who's going to be the seller when the funds come in and buy? That's why it's easier, even though wheat has a problem with Russian wheat prices continuing to go lower and dipping below $200 a ton, continuing to drive European prices lower. When it comes to the funds unwinding, because their risks are increasing this time of year, it makes it easier to rally. Now, something we're going to have to watch here, not to throw a wet rag on it, is with Russian prices go down, that creates problems for Europe and kind of holds European prices down. Then you start getting into some arbitrage opportunities, which we've seen in the past, where you get German or Polish wheat or something coming into the U.S. East Coast, and that can put a real damper on things real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time we brought in some wheat from Poland, the market did not like that at all. At all. So it's a good warning. Good warning.
It's just like Brazil soybeans coming into the U.S. Southeast. It's not that much volume, but it psychologically sure has an impact on the market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt. Okay. Speaking of anniversaries, we just went past the two-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We're into the third year now. That headline has been around for so long now, Arlen. Is that having some kind of an impact on the way that the wheat is trading?
Well, it's day 747 of the war, and it does continue on. The markets become desensitized to the risks that are there. I would say that the risks are probably greater than they were 2 years ago. The big concern that caused the rally 2 years ago was that's the world's largest exporter of commodities coming out of the Black Sea, not just agricultural commodities, but crude oil coming out of Russia as well. But exports are traveling pretty well right now. There hasn't been any real problem with Russia being able to get out what it wants. And Ukrainian exports, even though Russia's done everything they can to damage the ports, Ukrainian exports are near pre-war levels. In fact, we've seen some record wheat exports here in recent weeks. So they're making tremendous strides in continuing export. Both sides have the capability to sink ships. Neither side has wanted to take on world public opinion if they were to do that. The question becomes, at what point does one side or the other become desperate enough to do that and make it so that no shippers want to go into the Black Sea? And that would be a game changer. Now, the odds of that are still considered pretty low, but that's a potential black swan event that we'll still have to keep our eyes on. In the meantime, when you look at Russia's had two back-to-back big crops, Ukraine's had bigger crops than what we expected, both of them trying to export as much as possible to keep their economies going and to help pay for the war effort. And the conditions for this year's crop so far look good as well. We'll have to watch it. If we continue on the same trend, we could be set up for some heat and dryness over Russia's wheat belt as we get into the summer, particularly could help hinder their spring wheat crop. But for the now, things are looking really good, and that means continued dumping a lot of wheat onto the world market.
Yep, yep. Okay. What is China doing? You know, bean guys, bean producers are almost used to China canceling its purchases of U.S. beans. Wheat guys probably aren't that used to it. What are they trying to do?
Well, China's been stocking up on commodities. And so you say, well, wait a minute. Why did they just cancel 18.5 million bushels of purchases? Because they can buy it cheaper elsewhere, playing the old game, frankly. They're still bringing in wheat imports at a good clip. But U.S. prices got to the point when you add in the strong dollar, even though it's down from its highs, and you add in freight costs, or they can get it cheaper. They're importing a lot now from the Black Sea, both wheat and corn, and they can get it cheaper elsewhere. And so I think that they'll be doing that. But they're pretty much stocking up. You know, if you look at what USDA did, we thought of it as a pretty benign crop report that they had on Friday, other than just a 1 million metric ton drop in the Brazilian production. But they USDA upped China's imports for last year up above what China's own census data was showing, and they basically held domestic demand for this year flat, even though they upped imports, and it shows that China is stocking up on soybeans in addition to other commodities. And you look at their projected ending stocks for this year, if that verifies, that'll be up 49% over a two-year period of time. And which comes to about a 457 million bushel increase over that period of time, bringing their stocks to 1.38 billion bushels. That's more than they import from us in a year. In fact, what they've purchased this year is down over 8 million metric tons from last year's level at this time of year.
Wow. Wow, that's a big change. No question about it. All right, we are in the middle of a conversation with Arlen Suderman from StoneX Group. On that first show, that first Market Rally Radio, we had a question from at CornKing333. We've got another question that'll lead us into the next conversation. Next.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 13.5 cents higher at 587.75. July SRW wheat up 10.75 cents to 561. May corn futures 2 cents higher today, 441.75. December corn futures closed at 472.75. That's up 0.75 cents. May soybeans 4.75 cents lower today, 11.79¼. November bean futures closed at 11.72¾. That's down a whole penny. July cotton was up 42 points to 94.34. On your livestocks, April fat cattle steady, 187.60. April feeder futures a buck lower, 253.10. And April lean hog futures $1.10 lower at 83.27¼. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Pepin County Health Department provides confidential reproductive health and family planning services here in Durand. Services include birth control methods and supplies, routine preventative exams, cervical cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, emergency contraception, and pregnancy testing. All are available at low or no cost to you. Whatever your situation, the Pepin County Health Department is here to help you. Call or text 715-279-3241 for more information or to set up an appointment.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright and beautiful day today with the heat really cranking up, soaring to high temperatures, flirting with 70 degrees. But keep in mind, winds are a bit breezy, creating a high fire danger risk. The spring-like vibes continue into tomorrow, too. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 58.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Barefoot
a sack of clothes.
I was hoping for a little bit of taking care of business right there, weren't you?
A little TCB?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Throwback.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Happy 10-year anniversary to those of you that have been listening today since day one. It's been 10 years since we started this afternoon show, and we've got the original guest analyst on, Arlen Suderman from StoneX Group. Arlen, you mentioned in the last segment that China is building some stocks of commodities. Why? What's going on?
I call it insecurity. They had a habit of having kind of a 1-year supply of those commodities. They never got that with soybeans because that's a newer commodity for them. But as far as corn supplies, wheat supplies, rice supplies, etc. And then 20 years ago, they were getting comfortable with doing business and trade, and so they allowed those reserves to go down. But now they're starting to feel the insecurity with the tensions with the West rising again, and they're rebuilding those. The question is, are they getting ready to go into direct conflict regarding Taiwan? In the two sessions meetings that just ended, which is their annual policy meeting, this year, for the first time, said no press conference afterwards. They just released their statements. Yeah. And that statement had something very interesting regarding Taiwan. It had previously always had the words in it, we will move toward a peaceful reunification of Taiwan. They removed the words peaceful reunification and they inserted words that said pursue. And I can't remember exact wording, but basically pursue reunification of Taiwan firmly. So they're going to be very active in pursuing it. Xi Jinping has guaranteed that he will reunify Taiwan to the mainland. He's over 70 years old already. He's looking at the upcoming U.S. elections thinking, do I do it while Joe Biden is in office? Now it looks like Donald Trump will be the Republican candidate. Do I want to encounter him, or do I want Biden, or do I want to wait till after Donald Trump is president? What are my options for doing so? He doesn't want to go in and scorched earth approach like Russia tried to do with Ukraine, because he wants to maintain the infrastructure there. Most likely he would want to do some type of try to isolate Taiwan and have a blockade. Would the United States challenge that? The markets would assume that there will be some type of sanctions that will hinder our ability to export commodities to China. So that would be negative. And we export quite a bit to Taiwan as well, which would certainly be difficult. But the big question is, does Xi Jinping want to challenge us, or see if we'll challenge him? Does he want to test us to see if we'll challenge a blockade or not? And under which president would he rather do that? And at his age, how many years does he have? So that's the key question. It kind of concerns me that they got the wording changed. They've made changes in their leadership to move the head of the Eastern military, who would be in charge of such a campaign, up into the inner leadership circle, the inner seven, so to speak. They've been making those changes, and now they're kind of gathering commodities so they'd be less vulnerable. They could essentially, with the soybean reserves now, as long as Brazil doesn't have a total crop failure, they could go without any U.S. soybeans if they had to now. And so those are things just to be on the lookout, that possibility.
Okay. That's a third hot spot, potentially. A third hotspot in around the world. At some point, everybody else around the world has got to say, listen, I'm buying stuff before it runs out. Right?
Yeah, because the world now, when Russia invaded Ukraine, we saw the world that had been very comfortable with just-in-time supplies start saying, wait a minute, we need to build up our reserves again. And then prices collapsed and Ukraine was able to ship and Russia's able to ship, and they got away from that. But now all of a sudden, with the Red Sea getting increasingly a problem. The Panama Canal, they're starting to say maybe we should have those reserves after all.
Yeah.
And so importers of major commodities are starting to look again. And that does obviously increase demand, and that's good. And that's at a time when the funds have these major short positions, near record short positions in some cases. We've been in a commodity deflation mode since mid-June of 2022. And I've been saying for several months that I felt like by the second or third quarter of this year, we would see the funds flip that position on expectations that inflation will be coming back.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Let's go down this path. Changing gears here some. Back on that first show 10 years ago, we got a question, and I might have asked for a little bit of help on getting a question in on that first show, but at Corn King 333, Tim Gregerson over Herman, Nebraska asked us a question, and he's got this question today for you, Arlen. What is the best path that you see for both U.S. corn on the ethanol side and U.S. soybeans through soybean oil to capture the SAF market in the U.S. that will most benefit the American farmer?
Yeah, as we look at this, ethanol's really at a turning point right now, as you know, waiting on the White House to come out with what modifications and changes they're going to have with the GREET model for giving credit to ethanol. Right now, it looks like ethanol with carbon sequestration at the ethanol plants, being able to grab that carbon and then pipe it as they're developing that now, would be the most efficient, meaningful way for the volume that we're talking about. And that would be certainly good for getting ethanol into that alcohol-to-jet type of a program or sustainable aviation fuel. And if we get that, we're probably looking at providing support for agricultural land values as well. It'd probably be a boost to land values as well. When it comes to the diesel markets, the marine markets, we're probably looking at the oil seeds, meaning soybean oil, canola oil, et cetera, as well as the rendering fats, et cetera, probably taking care of much of that market, with ethanol chasing after the sustainable aviation or the jet fuel market. And we feel comfortable with where we're going with the oil seeds toward the renewable diesel market right now. It's going on the pace that we anticipated. We had a more conservative forecast from the start. And even with the disappointments we've seen at Washington, we're still going down kind of the path that we anticipated for that. And so now it comes down to getting ethanol as a feedstock for that jet fuel and seeing if we can get the GREET model to work with us on that. But carbon sequestration.
Yep. Long term, it's positive for the markets, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And with more and more efficient engines out there getting longer mileage and electric vehicles, et cetera, although electric vehicle growth is really slowing pretty rapidly right now, I think this is something that not only do we need, but I do think it's coming.
Gotcha. All right. You talked some about South America and Brazil in particular, but I want to talk about why last year's, not the projection for this year, why last year's Brazilian bean crop is getting bigger. Why haven't they whittled away at this year's bean crop estimate quicker than what they have, that they being USDA? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's really related, and we don't know exactly, but we've got a pretty good idea what may be going on. There's a lot of talk in the Brazil market about a private firm that had the technical capabilities that was hired to do some work on it and looked at the satellite data. And reportedly, although nobody's, you know, very few people have actually seen the report, but this is what the report is around in Brazil, found that looking at satellite data, that acreage has been expanding a lot faster than what we previously thought. You know how the backcountry of Brazil, it's really hard to get a lot of good data on planted acres, planted hectares, I should say, let alone yield in some of the backcountry. But apparently it's been expanding much faster than previously thought. As you indicated, we've seen last year's crop upgraded by about 5 million metric tons over the last few months. And that was a pattern, you know, the previous years had been upgraded. Mm-hmm. Seems like they run out of year and exports exceeded expectations and they still have more soybeans than what everyone thought that they would have. And so then we get into this year and we know USDA uses that satellite technology. Perhaps that's what they're seeing as well. The larger acreage making up for the lost yields.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've only got about a minute left here, but this is kind of the more things change, the more they stay the same, Arlen. 10 years ago, when you were on that first market rally with us, I'm sure that we were talking about biofuels and what's going on in Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do feel good that we're on a faster track than what our competition is for developing that domestic demand. And our checkoff dollars are working for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, you look at, and yes, we're developing that domestic demand, but we can look at Brazil and take some, maybe learn some lessons from what's going on down there too. With they're much more willing to blend at a higher rate than what we are here in the U.S. with the same technology.
Absolutely, and that baffles my mind that we can't get to that point as well.
Yeah, it really does. Arlen, it's been fun. Thank you for being part of it on day one. Thank you for being part of it here 10 years later. We certainly appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
Let's put it down for 10 years from now.
Why not? Why not? There we go. Now we're going to start have to debate the song. You know, is it going to be another, my next 10 years, my next 20 years, my next 30 years? Arlen, thanks. That is Arlen Suderman, StoneX Group. Carrie Artak is going to be here with the chart update next here on AgriTalk.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence. Because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts SOLVE to 200-300. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text SOLVE to 200-300. That's SOLVE to 200-300.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BREAK to 321-321. That's BREAK to 321-321.
Council.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is with us, and we just wrapped up a conversation with Arlen Suderman. Good conversation with Arlen. A lot of things to think about, including... that last topic, or close to the last topic, just how many acres are under production for soybeans down in Brazil. Good grief. I don't know if we've got the answer, but it, like Arlen said, they export, and they still got beans left. There's got to be something going on that we're missing in that whole equation. All right. Monday afternoon, that means it's time to take a look at what's going on the charts for the grains and livestock. And Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, has become a regular here on Monday afternoons. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm doing great, Chip. And by the way, happy 10th anniversary on your show.
Yes, thank you. We certainly appreciate that, Kerry. And probably for the last 5 years? Has it been that long?
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I think it's been close to that. Yeah, I think it's been around there about five years. I'm not sure exactly, but something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been part of it here for the last 5 years and on with us Monday afternoons to give us a look at what's going on in on the charts. So we certainly appreciate that. And I know that listeners really look forward to your updates each Monday afternoon. So thanks for being here. If you would like to take a look at Kerry's service, go ahead and go to artacadvisory.com. That's A-R-T-A-C advisory.com and get signed up for a 2-week free trial. All right, Kerry, get us started. What you got?
May corn. I'll take it back a little bit. Early January, we had a sell signal when we closed below 460. On your show, I'd mentioned how 412 and a quarter was a 2 to 3 month target. We tested that just about 3 weeks ago. Came off of 412 and a quarter. I think the low was around 409. And 412 and a quarter can contain selling, as I've been saying, into possibly through spring trade. We could have a decent rally from here. In fact, that is kind of what's under play now. 438 and a quarter that we closed above late last week is now a new floor of support near term, expecting bullish continuation back to that 460 even level. But I do think that there's something to be said for possibly reaching all the way up to 490. 490 is a longer-term descending channel top on the weekly chart. I do think just merely having tested 412 and a quarter, as I've been telling my newsletter subscribers, that you should consider 490 even in reach over the next 3 to 5 months. And so last week's settlement above 438 and a quarter does underscore that. 460 even now likely over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We can certainly top out there for a week, possibly a month, but closing above 460 even, we then have 490 even over the next 2 to 3 weeks, which I consider kind of a loose target anyway, okay, that I'm considering in reach, not necessarily strongly expected. 490 even, though, if tested over the coming weeks, can contain buying through spring and into summer. It would be a settlement above 490 even that would set off the summer rally, I think, that should then yield the 590s. But we're a long way from that right now. In fact, if we ease back and close the week back below 438 and a quarter, I do think that 412 and a quarter long-term support area is in reach again over the next few weeks, where we could once again bottom out through spring into summer. And if we were to close below 412 and a quarter at some point over the next month or two, that does set off longer term bearish continuation down to 343 and a quarter over the following 2 to 3 months. On to May soybeans. I'm going to back up again on this one. It was in early January. We had a 3 to 5 month sell signal when we settled below a level that is now well above the market at 1272 even, expecting 1090 roughly, 1089 even now. It's a descending channel top on the weekly chart. So that has been a 3 to 5 month objective since early January. And it was just about 3 weeks ago that we dropped about 80% of our target down to 1128 half. And since then, last week, like corn, soybeans have put out what I would consider to be a near-term buy signal only. So with soybeans, I'm a more aggressive seller, and I do have as a 2 to 3 week target at 1223 and three quarter. And so when I say a more aggressive seller, I'm waiting for the low 1220s before selling it again.
Okay.
I think at 1223 and three quarter, and this level is dropping every week, we can top out into May expiration, possibly through spring, and from there fall all the way back to that long-term target at 1089 even. If we were to close above 1223 and three quarter over the next few weeks, and once again, that's a lower number next week, it's a descending speed line on the weekly chart, then I would expect within 1 to 2 months clawing our way back all the way up to that 1272 even long-term resistance area, where we could actually top out through summer activity if we were to happen to test it, say, in May, June of this year. And finally, June live cattle. I've had the low 190s as an objective now for the last couple of months. We close at 183.02 today. I've got 190 even as a significant overhead resistance. It is really 194.15 April contract because it's on the weekly chart. So I have to do a translation. June will inherit that level, but the low 190s, 190 even, able to contain buying through spring. It is an objective above 179.35. So 179.35, we may test that over the next week or two. It can contain selling through April, and above which 190 even remains a 3 to 5 week objective where we could top out into summer activity. If, on the other hand, we were to close below 179.35, I see that as a good high into later spring. Over the next couple of months, this market likely to fall back to 171.60, where the June contract could actually bottom out into expiration. Okay. Last thing I want to say, upside that 190 level, if June can close above 190 even over the next week or two, we got another 12 candles north, 204 even, then expected over the following 2 to 3 months where we could place an annual high. And that is all I've got.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next
Thank
week.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Real quick on the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for March 17th through the 21st. Near normal temperatures over the Western Corn Belt. Below normal temperatures over the Eastern Corn Belt, but we're going to throw Missouri in with that outlook as well. Below normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. All right, guys, thank you so much for, you know what, for sticking with us for the last 10 years. We certainly appreciate that. Davis, we appreciate your effort, my friend. It It is an accomplishment, as you said, to do anything for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And here we are. It's a good reason to celebrate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Love to all the listeners out there. That's all I got to say.
That's all we can say. All right. Yep. Thank you so much for listening. We've got Dan Hallstrom from USMEF tomorrow morning right here on AgriTalk.
All right, let's see here. Acuron corn herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and outyields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Picture this. It's Saturday morning and you're on your John Deere compact tractor. You're effortlessly breaking ground on your new landscaping project. Next, you're moving piles of rocks just by moving a lever. And now, you're enjoying the warmth of the sun as you clear brush across your pasture. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand everything you can do with a John Deere compact tractor, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or